We are beginning Maseches Erev in today, so it's going to be another, 103 days of this or so. It's gonna be a while till we get to something else. Yeah. So again, hopefully, as we go on in the Masechta, we'll get a little bit of background. There, if I wanted to do like a real overview of the Masechta, it would probably take us, an hour. So I'm not going to do that. But as topics come up, we'll hopefully explain it. And a lot of things we actually already saw in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. So hopefully there'll be a little bit of review from there as well. Okay, so the Mishnah starts out and says, Mavui shehu gavoa lemala meyetshim ama yimai, Rabbi Huda omer enot sarich. So right away the Mishnah starts out with the machlokas regarding an alleyway. So we know this already back from the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, that if you have an alleyway which opens up into a Rishus HaRabim. And the assumption here is the alleyway is closed off on three sides. It's open on one side to a Rishus HaRabim. There's an Isser Derabanan to carry in that alleyway because we're afraid that you're going to accidentally carry something into the Rishus HaRabim unless you have some sort of recognition, which we'll see in the Mishnah and the Gemara, what's called either a Lechi or a Korah, either a vertical or a horizontal beam. That's like a reminder or some sort, or maybe even acts as a fourth wall potentially that will remind you not to carry into the Rishus HaRabim. So the Mishnah now is addressing the issue about what happens if my lechi, if my beam, is more than 20 amos in the air. Why should that be an issue? So this is very reminiscent of a halacha regarding sukkah, which the Gemara is actually going to connect it to in a second, because if, let's say, the schach of your sukkah is more than 20 amos in the air, the assumption is that you're not going to be able to see it. Can everyone just mute themselves, please? They're not muted. The assumption is that you're not going to be able to see the schach, which again, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second, is going to be a problem in the context of Hilchos Sukkah. So the Mishnah says that according to the Tanakam, according to the Chachamim, if your lechi, if your cross beam is more than 20 amos in the air, you're never going to see it. It's not going to be an effective reminder to not carry in Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you would not be allowed to carry in the alleyway whatsoever. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that there's no need to, to move the lechi at all. So according to the Chachamim, if you want to be able to carry in such an alleyway, and the cross beam, the lechi or the korah, is more than 20 amos in the air, you have to lower it to make it within 20 amos. But according to Rabbi Huda, there is no need to do that. Again, the Gemara is going to explain what the machlokas is about. Then the Mishnah says,
Rabbi, question.
Yeah.
I can understand if the korah is above 20 amos, but is it saying the lechi is first placed at 20 amos?
Yeah, so that's like a technical question, meaning like, where's the line of demarcation? Is it the bottom half? Is it the whole thing? The Gemara is gonna flesh out a lot of these details. So hopefully we'll get a better picture as we go on. We'll see. Okay. So then the Mishnah says, V'harachav me'eser amos yemai. Then the Mishnah has a second halacha, that if the beam, if the lechi or the korah is wider than 10 amos, you also have to lessen the width of the lechi or korah. Again, the Gemara on the next Amud is going to address what Rabbi Yehuda's position is about this. We'll see that Rabbi Yehuda will also disagree with this, even though it's not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah. V'im yesh lo tzuras ha-pesach, afal pi shehu rachav me'eser amos, ein sarich lemai. The Mishnah adds that if there's a tzuras ha-pesach, if you have, again, a tzuras ha-pesach is basically when you have two korahs and a lechi on top. You have two vertical beams and a horizontal beam on top. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, if you have a tzuras ha-pesach, even if the beam is wider than 10 amos, then you don't have to touch it. Then you don't have to do anything. Again, as we'll see a lot as we go on in this Masechta, the idea of a tzuras ha-pesach, again, it's a lechi on each side and then a korah on the top. The idea of a tzuras ha-pesach basically is that it's acting as a fourth wall or as an independent doorway. So in that case, the Mishnah says you don't have to lessen. And again, the Gemara is going to kind of pick apart each line of this Mishnah. So first of all, the Gemara starts out with contrasting our Mishnah with the Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Sukkah. Tanan Hasan, Sukkah she gvoa lamala meyesher mama psula v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Maishna gabi Sukkah desoni psula, de gabi mavui tani takanta. The Gemara is a very basic, what seems like a linguistic question, but in reality, this is actually a very fundamental question. The Gemara wants to know, why is it that in our Mishnah, when it comes to, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, but whether you have to lessen, to push down the lechi or korah to be within 20 amos, why is it that the Mishnah uses the word yemai? Yemai just means if it's higher than 20 amos, just bring it to within 20 amos and then it's fine, then you're allowed to carry in the alleyway. Whereas when it comes to sukkah, when the Chachamim say that if the schach is higher than 20 amos, in other words, it doesn't say, oh, just bring the schach down to within 20 amos. It says the whole sukkah is invalid. The whole sukkah is pasul. So why didn't the Mishnah just use the same expression there? Just say, just bring the schach down to within 20 amos. So the Gemara says, you're right. Sukkah de Oraisa, Tani Psula, Mavui de Rabbanan, Tani Takanta. So one answer in the Gemara is that when it comes to Sukkah, the stakes are higher. Sukkah is a din de Oraisa. Not carrying in an alleyway that connects to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos is only an Isra de Rabbanan. So when it comes to an Isra, when it comes to a din de Oraisa, so then the whole Sukkah is invalid. But whereas when it comes to a din de Rabbanan, like a Mavui, like an alleyway, so therefore we're more willing to allow you to rectify the problem. That's one answer. Then the Gemara says, V'iba Yisema, second answer. De Oraisa Nami Tani Takanta. The second answer, no, even by Sukkah, theoretically, we should have, you know, also been able to rectify the problem. The only thing is, the Gemara says, El Sukkah de Nefishin Mile, Pasik Vasani Psula, Mavui de Lo Nefishin Mile, Tani Takanta. This is almost like a tangential thing where the Gemara says that, yes, it's true that in theory you could have just taken your Schach and brought it to within, you know, within 20 Amos, and then everyone would have agreed your Sukkah would have been kosher. The only problem is that when it comes to Sukkah, the Gemara points out is that usually there are many, many factors that go into determining whether or not a Sukkah is kosher. It's not just the question of the schach. You have a million other issues to contend with when it comes to a sukkah. So it's usually not so cut and dry. It's in other words, it's not usually like, oh, if it's above 20, then it's pasul. If it's within 20, then it's kosher. There's usually a lot of other factors that go into it. So the Mishnah and Sukkah didn't want to get involved in every single potential theoretical scenario. So it just said it's pasul. But in theory, if you were to rectify every single problem in the sukkah and you were to bring the schach within 20 amos, then the sukkah would in fact be kosher. In contrast to the case of the mavui of the alleyway, where you really just have one issue. Is it above 20 amos or is it within 20 amos? So it's a lot easier to rectify that problem. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Chachamim lo limdua ela mipischo shel heichal, v'Rav Yehuda lo lamda ela mipischo shel ula. So now the Gemara presents the machlokas, again, explains the machlokas within our Mishnah. Again, whether if the lechi or korah is above 20 amos, is that a problem? Is that going to still allow me to carry in the mavui? That was Rav Yehuda's position. Whereas the Chachamim insist that you have to bring it to within 20 amos. That machlokas in our Mishnah is really centered around the question about where we derive the definition of an entranceway, of a Pesach from. So that's a machlokas that's based on a Mishnah Meseches Midos in Seder Kachin, where the Mishnah presents the following machlokas. Tisnan, Pischo shal heichal govo esramama v'rachbo esramos, v'shal ulam govo arboyamama v'rachbo esramama. So meaning, there's no machlokas in terms of any of these dimensions. The Mishnah Meseches Midos says that when it comes to the entranceway of the heichal and the Beis HaMikdash, so the heichal was 20 amos tall and 10 amos wide, whereas the entranceway to the ulam was the antechamber that led into the that led into the heichal. So the ulam was 40 by 20. So really, the question is, well, which of those doorways do we use as a paradigm to derive the general concept or the general definition of a doorway in halacha? So the Gemara explains, Ushnei mikra echadarshu. Both shitos, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, derive their definition of a doorway from the same pasuk in Chumash, the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra that says, Ushchato pesach ohel moed, that you will shech the carbon at the entrance to the Ohel Moed. What does that mean? The Rabbanan Savre, Kedushas Hecha Luchud, U Kedushas Ulam Luchud, V'chi Ksiv Pesach Ohel Moed, Ahechel Ksiv. According to the Rabbanan, when the Pasuk says that you have to shech the karban at the entrance to the Ohel Moed, so the Chachamim think that the Kedusha of the Heichal and the Kedusha of the Ulam are distinct. The Ulam has less Kedusha than the Heichal does, and therefore the Chachamim believe that when the Pasuk in Vayikra says to shecht it at the entrance to the Ohel Moed, that's a reference to the entrance to the Heichal. Since the definition of the Heichal, the doorway to the Heichal we already saw from the Mishnah in Midos, is 20 by 10, that means that by definition a doorway cannot be higher than 20 amos. So that's why the Chachamim say that if your lechi or korah are above 20 amos, you have to bring it down to within 20 amos, as we see from the doorway of the heichal. That's according to the Chachamim. However, for Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Heichal v'ulam kedusha achasi v'chi ksiv pesach ol moed atravayuhu dechsiv. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the heichal and the ulam have the same kedusha. In other words, there is no difference between the two, and therefore, when the pasuk says in Vayikra Ushchato Pesach Ohel Moed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that term Pesach Ohel Moed, the entrance way to the Ohel Moed, could be an allusion to both the Ulam and the Heichal, which means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could theoretically have a doorway that is significantly larger than 20 amos, as we see, because the entrance way to the Ulam was 40 amos. So, if it's 40 amos and Rabbi Yehuda is still calling that an entrance way, obviously he does not require that your entrance way, or in this case, the lechi or korah that's on top of your alleyway, has to be within 20 amos. He says it could even be more than 20 amos. This is one version, one way of explaining what the source of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is. That's one explanation. Then the Gemara quotes a second explanation. V'iba yaseima, l'Rabbi Yehuda nami kedushas ulam l'chud, u kedushas heicha l'chud, v'hacha hainu taima de Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda dichsev el Pesach ulam habayis. So the Gemara cites an alternative explanation, which is that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the Heichal and the ulam are distinct. In other words, they don't have the same kedusha, like the Rabbanan suggested in the previous pshat. So if Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the Heichal and the ulam are distinct, how then can he justify calling an entranceway, calling a Pesach based on the ulam? If the ulam and Heichal have two distinct measures of kedusha, how can he justify calling the ulam a Pesach? So the Gemara says, because Rabbi Yehuda, by kind of mixing together and amalgamating different psukim in Parshas Vayikra, he comes up with the following phrase. Again, this is not a real pasuk, but this is like a mixture of different psukim. El Pesach ulam habayis. Rabbi Yehuda almost sticks in the word ulam to the pasuk. The pasuk never uses the word ulam. In fact, the word ulam doesn't actually, at least ulam in the context of being like a hallway in the Beis Hamikdash, doesn't actually ever appear in Chumash. It appears in Navi when it talks about the Beis Hamikdash. So Rabbi Yehuda is almost inserting the word ulam into the pasuk and claiming that when the pasuk says to shech the karban by the Pesach Oel Moed, what that really means is by the entranceway to the ulam. So how would the Rabbanan respond to that? The Rabbanan ihav a kasav el Pesach ulam kidekaamer. Had the Torah said to the entrance of the ulam, then Rabbi Yehuda would have been correct that we can define a doorway based on the ulam, and that even if my entranceway is more than 20 amos or my lechi is more than 20 amos in the air, then that's okay. But the problem is hashta dechsev el Pesach ulam habayis hapasuach leulam. But according to the Chachamim, it doesn't say el Pesach ulam; it says el Pesach ulam habayis, to the entranceway of the hallway that leads into the main room, which in this case refers to the heichal. So, in other words, even the Rabbanan agree that this, you know, this formulation of the pasuk, again, this is not a real pasuk in Chumash, but again, this kind of made up, you know, amalgamation of psukim, where both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are inserting the word ulam. The question is, how are we to interpret that? According to Rabbi Yehuda, when you insert the word ulam into this imaginary pasuk, so now all of a sudden that becomes the definition of an entranceway. Namely, it could be significantly more than 20 amos high, because again, the ulam was 40 amos high. Whereas according to the Rabbanan, the mention of ulam has nothing to do with the dimensions of the ulam, but rather the ulam only insofar as it leads into the heichal, and again, the heichal is only 20 amos high. So it's really the same idea. It's just different sources, different ways of fleshing out the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. So now, Rabbi,
don't we know factually where they did the shechting of these karbanos?
So that's a general question that you can ask on pretty much all of Seder Kudshim. Whenever you have a machlokas about anything in the Beis Hamikdash or karban related, the question is, didn't they just know what happened? So apparently the answer was no, because apparently there were machlokas about how to interpret different psukim and chumash. Because again, remember, virtually all of Hilchos, you know, Kudshim and Beis Hamikdash and Sefer Vayikra, it's all based on psukim in Sefer Vayikra. But the problem is that oftentimes we need the help of the Torah Shabbal Peh to explain what those psukim mean. So the answer apparently is that there was no clear consensus about a lot of things in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's exactly why we're having these machlokes, and because we really don't necessarily know how all these things played out. Yeah, Mitch, do you have a question? Yeah, sir.
We learned that this is on the northeast side by the Mizbeach, above the line.
Yeah, yeah. So those things are all written explicitly in psukim. So, you know, again, obviously you have to go case by case and look at each individual scenario. Yeah, Mitch, what's your question?
Rabbi, not to put you on the spot, but it says here in the notes that in the Ritva, that said that these amalgamation of psukim, the Ritva says this happens before. You remember anyone offhand?
There is one very famous example. It's possible that there are more. I actually can think of two off the top of my head. Yeah, the one very famous one is V'nosan Hakesef Ekamlo. The Gemara uses this whole very very strange drusha in Meseches Erechin and Bava Metzia and in a number of places where it talks about the idea of pidyon hektesh, the idea of redeeming hektesh with money or without money, whatever. There's a whole discussion about this, and that is actually based on an amalgamation of psukim that again don't exist, or it's not that they don't exist. They're two different psukim that were kind of molded together. And also there's another in Meseches Megillah, in the beginning of Megillah, there's some drush from psukim in Yehoshua that again are not a real pasuk, but the Gemara kind of fuses psukim together. It's not so uncommon. It does happen a few times in Shas. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara now wants to know v'haki ksiv hai b'mishkan ksiv. So the Gemara says, hang on one second. This drasha that we just quoted, this again, this you know this made up pasuk of of El Pesach Ulam Habayis, this pasuk is referring to the Mishkan. So the question is, how exactly are we meant to extrapolate from the Mishkan to the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara explains, Ashkechan Mishkan de'ikrei Mikdash, u'mikdash de'ikrei Mishkan. The Gemara says it's not so crazy. We find precedent throughout Tanakh that the terms Mishkan and Mikdash are used interchangeably to refer both to the Mishkan and to the Beis HaMikdash. How do we know that? De'ilo temahachi, because if you don't say that, Hada Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shlomim Sheshchaten Kodem Psichas Dalsos Ahicha Psulen Shene'emaru Shchato Pesach Oel Moed Bizman Shepsuchin Velo Bizman Sheheinu Ulem V'haki Ksiv Hahi B'Mishkan Ksiv. So the Gemara references a halacha regarding a Karban Shlomim. It's a Gemara Mesech Zvachim and a Mesech Yuma. The Gemara says, let's say, for example, I have a Karban Shlomim and I shechted the Karban Shlomim before the door to the Heichal was opened up. So we know that in halacha, so there was a certain time frame in which you could shech the carbon throughout the day. Basically, the carbon tamid shel shachar was the first carbon that was brought. That corresponds to shachris that we daven every day. So basically, you really were not allowed to bring any carbon, at least for sure not lecherchila, before you offered the carbon tamid shel shachar. And generally speaking, you were also not allowed to bring any carbon after you brought the carbon tamid shel bein harbayim, again with the exception of carbon pesach. But generally speaking, you were not allowed to offer any carbon after that either. So the Gemara says that, let's say a guy goes ahead and shechts a carbon shlamim before the doors are open, meaning he shechts it too early. The Gemara says that's pasul. The Gemara says that carbon is completely invalid. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says ushchato pesach ol moed. You have to shecht the carbon at the entranceway to the ol moed, meaning that you can only shecht it when the ol moed is pasuach, when it's open, right? Not when the gates are still locked. So the Gemara says, but hang on one second. That pasuk in Parshas Vayikra is obviously a reference to the Mishkan, because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built yet in the times of Chumash, so it's obviously a reference to the Mishkan. So what right do we have to extrapolate from the Mishkan to the Mikdash? Meaning, one could have theoretically argued that if a guy shechts the Shlomim before the gates of the Beis HaMikdash are open, maybe the carbon is okay. Maybe this is a unique din by the Mishkan, not by the Mikdash. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Ela Ashkechan Mikdash de'ikrei Mishkan, u'Mishkan de'ikrei Mikdash. Therefore, you have to say that these terms are used interchangeably. We find, again, the Gemara is going to provide sources for this in a second. We find often throughout Tanakh that the terms Mishkan and Mikdash are used interchangeably to refer to one another. So in other words, again, as we'll see as we go on in a second, so it's in other words, this halacha that says that if I shecht a shlomim before the gates of the Mishkan are open is not just a din by the Mishkan, it's also a din by the Beis HaMikdash. So again, the Gemara is going to now prove this halacha. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam Mikdash to Ikri Mishkan dechsev nasati Mishkani besochechem. So we find precedent that the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as the Mishkan, because the pasuk says in Parshas Bichukosai in the Tochacha, V'nasati Mishkani b'sochechem, I'm going to put my Mishkan amongst you. That's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash that was going to be built in the future. But Ela Mishkan de'ikrei Mikdash minam. From where do we know that the Mishkan is referred to as a Mikdash? So Ilema midichsev v'nasu'u hakehasim nosei hamikdash v'heikimu es hamishkan ad bo'am. If it's based on the pasuk in Parshas Baaloscha that says that the people of Kehas, they carried the Mikdash and then they erected the Mishkan, the Gemara says, no, that can't be a good source. Hahuba Arun Ksiv. That pasuk is a reference to the Arun. We know that the primary role of the Bnei Kehas was to carry the Arun. So you can't suggest that the word Mikdash in that context is a reference to the entire Mishkan. It was an allusion only to the Arun, which was again the primary job of the Bnei Kehas was to carry the Arun. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamehacha v'asuli Mikdash v'shachanti v'socham. The famous pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Truma that says v'asuli Mikdash v'shachanti v'socham, that you know that Hashem commands us to construct a Mikdash, even though it's obviously a reference to the Mishkan. So again, we find precedent throughout Chumash that the terms Mikdash and Mishkan are used interchangeably, which therefore allows us to derive these halachos that we thought were unique to the Mishkan, we can also extend them to the Mikdash as well. Okay, so now the Gemara has a more overarching question here. Bein l'Rabbanan uvein l'Rabbi Huda lelfu mipesach shara chatzer dichsiv orache chatzer meyav ama v'rochav chamishim b'chamishim v'koma chamish amos uchsiv achamish esrei ama kiloim lakasif uchsiv lakasif hashinis mizeu mizeu l'shara chatzir kiloim chamish esrei ama ma lahalan chamish berochav esrim av kan chamish berochav esrim. The Gemara says this question is true both according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Why is it that we have to start you know scrounging around for a source about what the definition of an entranceway is from the Ulam or from the Heichal, and we have to start figuring out which is the correct one? The Gemara says there are psukim and chumish that explicitly talk about what the dimensions of the doorways of the Mishkan Mishkan was, right? For example, the Pasuk tells us that the length of the courtyard of the Mishkan was 100 amos, the width was 50 by 50, the height was 5 amos, and then all the hangings, the curtains that hung down, they hung down 15 amos from each side. So the Gemara says, you see from all of these sukkim, you see that that basically the entranceway was 5 by 20, right? You see that it was five amos high, and it was 20 amos wide. So the Gemara says, why is this not a valid source? These are explicit psukim in Parshas Truma and Parshas Vayakel. These psukim essentially are just the definition of the entranceway to the Mishkan. Why are we, you know, again, scrounging around for psukim about the ulam versus the heichal? They're explicit psukim that give the dimensions of the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a valid source. The Gemara says, Pesach shara chatzer ikre, Pesach stumalo ikre. So one answer, one reason why these psukim may not be a valid source is because the Torah refers to this part of the Mishkan as the Pesach Shar HaChatzer, as the entranceway to the gate of the Chatzer, but it's not a regular Pesach. Again, remember, we are trying to, to determine and to define the definition of a Pesach as it pertains to Hilchos Eruvin, as it pertains to putting up a lechi and a korah on top of an alleyway. So whenever, in other words, whenever we're deriving something from the Mishkan and the Mikdash, we have to be careful to make sure that the source of the derivation matches up with what we're trying to learn. So in other words, if you're going to tell me that in the context of the Mishkan, we use the term Pesach Shara Chatzer, one can argue that a Pesach Shara Chatzer has a very specific definition, the entranceway to the gate of the courtyard in the Mishkan, but a regular Pesach, a regular entranceway, a regular opening, may have a different definition, may have different dimensions. So one reason why these psukim may not be a valid source is because there's actually a difference between what's called the Pesach Shara Chatzer, the entrance to the courtyard of the gate to the courtyard of the Mikdash, or the Mishkan, versus just a regular, opening. So that's one possible deflection of the psukim as a source. Then the Gemara quotes a second possible answer: V'iba yisema ki ksiv kila'im chamisha srei ama la kasif begova hu dechsev. One could suggest that when the pasuk says that the curtains hung down 15 amos from each side of the Mishkan, that was actually an allusion to the height of the Mishkan, of the doorway. The Gemara says, what do you mean? The Gemara says, gova v'haksiv v'koma chamisha mos. But the pasuk tells us what the height of the doorway to the Mishkan was. It says it was 5 amos. How could you suggest that when the pasuk talks about the height of the hangings of the tapestries that were draped down over the Mishkan, that it was 15 amos? How could anyone suggest that that's the height of the doorway when the pasuk explicitly says that the height of the doorway of the Mishkan was actually 5 amos, not 15 amos? So the Gemara says, no. Hahu misfas mizbeach ulamala. The Gemara says that pasuk was referring to the edge of the mizbeach and upwards. In other words, the base of the mizbeach was 10 amos high, and then there was an additional 5 amos of height on top of that. So in other words, the total height was 15 amos. That's what the pasuk in Chumash is. That's what the pasuk of v'chamesh esrei amak la'im la'kasif is referring to. And when the pasuk says when the pasuk says v'chamesh amos komaso, that the height was 5 amos, that was from like the top part of the mizbeach going up. So now the Gemara says v'Rabbi Yehuda mipischu shel ulam gamar. So now the Gemara circles all the way back to what we were talking about in the previous summit, which again, the source for these definitions of an entranceway. The Gemara says, is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda derived his definition of an entranceway from the ulam? Is that true? V'hatnan, the Mishnah tells us, v'harachav me'eser amos yimayin v'lo palig Rabbi Yehuda. This was a point that we briefly alluded to before when we started with the Mishnah. The Mishnah presents two halakhos. So the Mishnah starts out by saying that if my lechi or korah is higher than 20 amos in the air, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're fine, but according to the Chacham, you have to bring it to within 20 amos. But then the Mishnah quoted a second halakha that if the beam is wider than 10 amos, then the Mishnah says you have to make it to within less than 10 amos wide. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say a word about that. So the Gemara says, how can one suggest that Rabbi Yehuda derives from the ulam when Rabbi Yehuda doesn't seem to argue about that second halacha in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye Polig Bivrei. So the Gemara says, although we don't find any sort of precedent in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that second halacha in terms of the width of the beam, but we find it in a Braisa. Disanya, v'harachav me'eser amos yimayid, Rabbi Yehuda omer einot tzarech lemayid. So in the Braisa, we find Rabbi Yehuda explicitly disagreeing with the second halacha as well. So in other words, not only does Rabbi Yehuda allow you to have the beam higher than 20 amos, he also allows you to have the beam wider than 10 amos. So what's the obvious question here? The Gemara says, "V'liflog b'masnisin." So why doesn't the Mishnah quote this machlokes? machlokas. In other words, if Reb Yehuda really truly disagrees with the Chachamim about the second halacha as well, why not just present it in the same Mishnah? Why put it in a brisa somewhere else? So the Gemara says, no, polig begova v'hu adin l'rachba. The Gemara assumes that because Reb Yehuda argues, you know, in other words, regarding the first halacha, namely regarding the height of the entranceway, so presumably he also disagrees regarding the width of the beam. In other words, the Mishnah was just assuming that you would figure out that Reb Yehuda argues in both cases. So now the Gemara asks again, v'akati Reb Yehuda mipischo shel ulam gamar, but still, does Reb Yehuda really derive his definition of an entranceway from the opening, from the entrance of the ulam? The Hasania, the Brisa says, mavui shehu gavoa michafama yemayit v'Reb Yehuda machshir amem v'nun ama. So this Brisa presents it in a slightly different way. In this Brisa, so again, the Chachamim Shita is still the same. The Chachamim say that if your lechi or korah is higher than 20 amos, you have to bring it down to within 20 amos. That's the same. But now, when the Gemara quotes Reb Yehuda, so it actually fleshes out Reb Yehuda a little bit more. Instead of saying that if the beam is higher than 20 amos, it's okay, the Brisa says that Reb Yehuda says that up to 40 or 50 amos high is fine. So that's what Reb Yehuda's position is in the Brisa. The Sunni Bar Kapara Admeya, and Bar Kapara was even more meekil. He said, no, even if the beam is 100 amos high, it's also okay. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam la Bar Kapara Guzma. Clearly, Bar Kapara was just exaggerating. He didn't mean that it has to be exactly 100 amos, but if it's 101 amos high, then it's possible. Clearly, when Bar Kapara said that even if the beam is 100 amos in the air, he didn't mean it exactly. You don't take like a measuring stick and make sure it's within 100 amos. Bar Kapara meant that even if it's very, very high in the air, that's also okay. But Elal Reb Yehuda my Guzma. But according to Reb Yehuda, it's a very strange thing to, in other words, if Reb Yehuda was also trying to exaggerate the height and say, yeah, you could put the beam wherever you want, why would the Brisa say until 40 or 50 amos? That seems oddly specific, right? In other words, just say anything above 20 amos is okay, like it said in our Mishnah. Why would Reb Yehuda all of a sudden start limiting his opinion if you really believed that the beam could be as high as you want? So Bishlam al Reb Yehuda arbaim gamar mipischo shalulam ela nun menale. So I understand the number 40. In other words, why Reb Yehuda and the Brisa would say 40 amos? That is in fact the size of the height of the entrance to the ulam, as we quoted back on Amud Aleph. So it makes a lot of sense why Reb Yehuda would want to quote the number 40. But where does the number 50 come from? In other words, 50 just seems to be an arbitrary number that doesn't correlate to anything. So the Gemara says, Amar Rechista Hamasnisa Atisei LeRav. The Gemara says that Rav, again, Rav was the original, the original Amora who started this whole ball rolling back on the previous Amud, where he quoted that Reb Yehuda derives this halacha from the entrance to the ulam. Rav was actually misled by the following brisa. Desanya, mavui shehu gavoa michaf ama yoser mipischo shel heichal yemayit. It says in the brisa that again, the same brisa we just quoted before, that if the alleyway is higher than 20 amos, you have to bring it down to within 20. Again, this is obviously according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, hu savar midrabbanan mipischo shel heichal gamrei, Reb Yehuda mipischo shel ulam gamar. Rav figured, well, if the source for the definition of an entranceway according to the Chachamim is defined by the Heichal, that must mean that the source for the definition of an entranceway for Reb Yehuda is defined by the Ulam. But the Gemara says Velohi, but it's not true. Reb Yehuda mipischa de malchin gamar. In reality, Reb Yehuda's definition of an entranceway doesn't correlate to anything in the Mishkan or the Mikdash at all. It simply correlates to, the size of a palace of a king. And the king's palace, his entranceways are huge. You know, those like big oak doors in the front of a palace that could be 40, 50, 100, 300 amos wide. In other words, again, Reb Yehuda is essentially just exaggerating for effect that the entranceway could be significantly higher. In other words, the Gemara says that Rav was initially misled because he just assumed, well, if the Rabbanan derived their definition of an entrance on the Heichal, then presumably Reb Yehuda learns it from the Ulam, but it's not true. Reb Yehuda just says that the Korah, the Lechi, could be as high as you want, just as in a king's palace. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbanan, Imi pischo shel heichal gemirei libo delasos keheichal. So now the Gemara pushes back a little bit. The Gemara says, hang on one second. But you're telling me that the Rabbanan derive their source for the definition of an entranceway based on the heichal, but if we're so convinced that the Rabbanan are deriving the definition of an entrance based on the heichal, well, then really your entranceway in the alleyway should be patterned exactly after the heichal, and we know that the heichal had doors on it. So in other words, now what the Gemara is asking is, well, according to the Chachamim, why don't we insist insist that it's not enough that your lechi, your korah, is within 20 amos of the ground. Maybe you also need to actually put up doors on the fourth side of your alleyway, on the fourth side of the alleyway, to completely be patterned after the heicha. So the problem is a lama tanan hechsher mavui be shamay omrim lechi v'kora uve sil omrim lechi okora. So the gemara, again, this is a mishnah later on on daf yud aleph. The mishnah presents a machlokes about what exactly you need to allow one to carry in a mavui. So according to be shamay, you need both a lechi and a kora. According to be sil, the way that we pass can either a lechi or a kora suffices. You don't need both, but neither of them, even be shamay, who's the most machmir, who insists that you need to have both a lechi and a kora, neither of them insists that you need to put up doors. But the question is, why not? If we're so convinced that the Rabbanan are patterning their definition of an entranceway based on the Heichal, so the Heichal also had doors. So why don't you require doors in the front of the alleyway? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good kashya. The Gemara says, the losos Heichal, it's nius ba'alma hu da'avidan, because the doors did not have any sort of practical function. All the doors did in the Heichal was for the purposes of tznius. If the Kohanim needed to change, they had to get undressed. So that's what the purpose of the doors was. But there was no halachic reason for the doors to be there. It wasn't like the doors were, you know, defining the entranceway to the Heichal. So because there was no halachic reason for the doors to be there in the first place, therefore we don't require doorways, in other words, when we're talking about a general definition of an entranceway for an alleyway. So now the Gemara pushes back again. Elameata, lo se hanile tzura sa pesach, de ha heichal tzura sa pesach havyalo, afilu hachi eser amosu deraviach. So now the Gemara pushes back again. Because remember, our Mishnah also told us that if you have a tzura sa pesach, you have your two lechis and a korah on the top, so that is effectively considered like an entranceway. The problem is that in the Heichal, they also had a Tzuras HaPesach. They also had the same setup, and yet we still say that because it was wider than 10 Amos, you have to shrink the size. You have to make it to within 10 Amos. So, Alama Tanan, Im Yesh Lo Tzuras HaPesach, Af Al Pi Sherachav Me Eser Amos, Eino Tzarech Lemayit. So the question then is, why does our Mishnah say that as long as I have a Tzuras HaPesach, as long as I have these two beams, the two vertical and one horizontal beam, then I'm okay? Then even if the beam is wider than 10 Amos, then it's fine. But the question is, that's exactly what happened in the Heichal. The Heichal also had a Tzuras HaPesach, and yet we're still saying that as long as you have a Tzuras HaPesach, your beam can be wider than 10 Amos. Why should that be so? So the Gemara says, you're right. Midi hutayma elo l'rav, ha'masnei l'rav Yehuda l'chir barav kami d'rav inu tzarech l'mayid, v'yomar lei, asni eit tzarech l'mayid. The Gemara says, you're right. We actually misunderstood, or we misrepresented the halacha in the Mishnah, and really what the Mishnah should have said is that you actually do have to shrink the size of the beam. It really does have to be less, in other words, less than 10 amos wide, even if you have a Tzuras HaPesach. So again, that this part of the Gemara is actually addressing what we saw at the end of the mission. Okay. So now the Gemara asks again, Elameata, lo tehane le amalchura, te haheichal amalchura havyale, va'afilu hachi esrim amahu de gavoa. So now the Gemara has another problem. The Gemara says, but we also have a halacha, what's called an amaltera. An amaltera, as we'll see in a second in the Mishnah, Meseches Midos, an amaltera, I think the official English word for an amaltera is called a cornice. It's like one of these ornamental decorative like overhangings you have like on the top of your window or something like that. So the Gemara says that the Heichal had these you know ornamental decorative cornices that were hanging on top of the doorways, and nonetheless the Gemara still tells us that they were higher than 20 amos. How do we know that? The Mishnah says in Meseches Midos, Chamesh amalteros shalmeila hayu agab of zola malam yizov zola malam yizov. There were five of these cornices, these like little overhangs on, you know, in front of the doorway that were stacked on top of one another, that were higher than 20 amos, and were still allowing you to carry. So the question is, according to the Rabbanan, that you always need this recognition to be within 20 amos so people can see it, how are these amalteros going to work? So the Gemara says, V'hai mai tiyufta. So Gemara wants to know, hang on a second, why is this such a big question? Dilma kitania hahida malteros be'ulam tanya. Perhaps when the Mishnah in Meseches Midos was referring to these ornamental decorative cornices, it was referring to the amalteros, the cornices that were overhanging in the ulam, not in the heichal. So in other words, maybe we have no right to derive a halacha from the amalteros in the ulam to the heichal, because again remember, the Rabbanan are learning their definition of a doorway from the heichal, not from the ulam. So you can't necessarily derive anything from the fact that the amalteros were higher than 20 amos, because remember, the ulam was 40 amos high. So the fact that it was above 20 amos in the ulam doesn't really make much of a difference. So the Gemara pushes back on that too. The Gemara says, "V'hai my kushu." What kind of question is that? Dilma tavnes heichal kesavnes ulam. But maybe one can argue that the layout of the heichal and the layout of the ulam were almost identical. Alama amar Rabbi Ilu amarav rechava dalet afal pi she'ena bria ve'im yesh la amaltra afilu gvoa yosir me Yatsar Mama Inu Tzarech Lemayit. Why then does the Gemara quote the statement of Rav that if I have a beam that is wider than four amos, even if it's not sturdy, then it's still okay. That's still considered a valid lechi or kor. I can still carry in the alleyway. And if I have an amaltra, if I have one of these cornices, so then even if it's higher than 20 amos, I don't need to bring it down. So again, the Gemara's overall question here is the following: is that if again the Rabbanan are truly deriving from the Heichal, that's how they're defining their definition of an entranceway, that means that an entrance cannot be higher than 20 amos. The problem is that we've just proven to you that in the Beis HaMikdash, these amalcharos, these cornices, were higher than 20 amos, and that was what was enabling those rooms in the Mikdash to be defined as an entranceway. How is that possible, according to the Rabbanan, if they were higher than 20 amos? So the Gemara said, you're right, Amar Rav Yosef, amaltra masnisahi, man katanila. So Rav Yosef pushes back on this. Rav Yosef says, okay, this concept, this halacha regarding the cornices was taught in a brisa. Who's to say the brisa was authoritative? Again, we find this idea. Yeah.
Is there a difference between a matros and a surah
sapesa? So I mean, well, you're asking practically, like in terms of enabling you to carry. You're saying.
Yes.
I think from a practical standpoint, there really isn't an actual difference. I mean, again, obviously they're physically different from one another, but yeah. But right, in terms of practically, they're serving the same function essentially, right? So now the Gemara pushes back and Rav Yosef says, well, who says that this brisa regarding a malteros is even authoritative? Now again, this is not just like a cop out answer. We find this in the Gemara all the time. That you know, oftentimes when the Gemara will quote a brisa, it's not always clear what the source of this brisa was, which would therefore mean that it's not always clear that any given brisa is necessarily authoritative. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. This brisa really is authoritative. I'm Rabbaye. V'hachama b'rei d'rabba baravua katanila. So chama b'rei d'rabba baravua taught the brisa. So apparently he was considered authoritative. So you can't just throw the brisa out the window. The brisa really, really does have good standing. So the Gemara says, okay, v'sehevi amaltera masnisa v'sikshe l'rav. But if that's the case, if in other words, if we're so convinced that the brisa regarding, or the Mishnah Midos regarding an amaltera is so authoritative, so then why is that not a problem for the opinion of Rav? Again, remember, this all started back on Beis Amidah, where Rav convinced us that the Rabbanan's definition of an entrance is derived from the Heichal. If the entrance is derived from the Heichal, that means that anything above 20 Amos is not called an entranceway. And if we're convinced that these Mishnayos and Brisos regarding the Amaltera is authoritative, well, then we've just proven that there are things that are above 20 Amos that are still called an entranceway, which is a problem. So Amar Lecha Rav. So Rav says, no, Dal Ana Mehacha Masniyasa Tanahi Lididinami Tanahi. So Rav says, leave me out of this issue, because Rav says this very issue, this very discussion regarding the Amal Teros is itself a machlokas Tanaim. So Rav says, fine, I'm going to side with those Tanaim who think that the Amal Teros were not above 20 Amos. So if you're convinced that the Amal Teros were not above 20 Amos, so then we don't have a problem. If you think the Amal Teros were higher than 20 Amos, that's going to be a serious problem to Rav's understanding of the position of the Chachamim, who again, he thinks that they derive the definition of an entranceway from the Heichal, which was only 20 amos. But if you're convinced that the Amal Teros were not higher than 20 amos, so then you don't have an issue. Then everything makes a lot of sense. Then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar.
Why couldn't we just judge those Amal Teros as additional decorative items that have no bearing on the height?
So that's what I would have thought initially also, but it doesn't seem that way from the Mishnah of the Gemara. Right? The Gemara is convinced that again we'll see in a second in the Gemara why exactly these Amalteros even play a role. We'll see that in 1 second actually. The Gemara is going to address that. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar below Rav Masniyasa Ahadah de Lokashin. Even without Rav, these brisos do not pose a problem at all. Why not? So the Gemara says, Lirabanan, because Kora Taimamai Mishum Hekera. So the Gemara says, what exactly is the reason that putting up a korah, putting up a vertical crossbeam, is even effective at all? The purpose of a korah is mishum heker, meaning it draws a person's eye. You can see it, and that will remind you not to carry into the Rishus HaRabin. So the Gemara says, v'hai dekatane yeser mipischo shel hichal simana ba'alma. This answer essentially erases almost the entire previous daf that we just learned, because the Gemara now says that this whole notion, this whole derivation that Rav is convinced that the Rabbanan learned the halacha of a definition of an entranceway from the Heichal, that was just a simen ba'alma. That was just like a mnemonic device to help you remember. So, in other words, for the last daf and a half, the Gemara was so convinced that the Rabbanan were working with this literal definition that an entrance has to be patterned after the Heichal. That's why the Gemara had problems with the Amaltera. That's why the Gemara had problems with the doorways. The Gemara was so convinced that it has to be literally patterned after the Heichal, the Gemara just kind of kind of, you know, almost like throws that, you know, throws the whole last daf and a half out the window. It says, no, that was just a mnemonic device. That was just a way to help us remember, you know, the size of the doorway. But it's not literally patterned after the hikal. It's just a way to help you remember. Okay. Then the Gemara says, V'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Hanicha ilo svira le hadaraba, ela is svira le hadaraba, to amaraba ksiv l'man yedu doros eichem kiva suko, so shafti hoshafti ad esrim ama adam yodeya shadar besuka, l'malam yasrim ama ein adam yodeya, mishum de lo shalta be'ena, alma gabi suka nami behakera plige, if fluge bestarte lamali. So now, continuing with this similarity or this comparison between suka and between the mavu, the alleyway, the Gemara has another question. Rabba has a very famous statement that appears primarily in Masechet Sukkah, where Rabba is trying to explain to us why it is that the Chachamim think that if your schach is above 20 amos, that it's possible. What's the reason for that? He says, because people typically can't see things that are above 20 amos over their head, typically. So why does that matter? Because if you can't see it, then you can't have an awareness that you're sitting in the Sukkah. Why does that matter? Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, Leman yedu doroseichem ki vasuko so shafti es b'nei Yisrael, that people have to know, you have to be aware that you're sitting in a Sukkah. Just parenthetically, there's a famous comment of the Bach, where the Bach claims that even though generally when we talk about having kavana when you do a mitzvah, so most of the time the kavana is not really ma'akiv. In other words, the only thing that you have to be aware of when you do a mitzvah generally is just that I'm doing a mitzvah. So for example, if I hear a shofar blowing, but I think I'm hearing some guy playing a trumpet, so then everyone agrees that I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. You have to at least be aware that you're hearing a shofar. But, you know, do I have to have every single kavana in mind that's written in the Art Scroll Machzor, or all the 10 kavanos in mind about what the symbolism of a shofar is? So obviously, you know, lecharchila, that's a nice thing to do, but b'diavad, if you don't have any of those kavanas in mind, you're still definitely yotzei. The Bach claims that there are three mitzvos in the Torah that you need to have an even higher level of kavana. It's not enough to just be aware that you're doing that mitzvah, but you have to have all the deeper kavanos in mind as well. One of them is sukkah, tzitzis, and tefillin, because in all three of those mitzvos, the Torah uses the word leman. Leman yedu doroseichem, leman tiz keru by tzitzis, and leman tia Torah Hashem beficha by tefillin. So because the Torah uses the word leman in those three contexts, the Bach claims that you need to have a higher kavana. We probably don't pass like the Bach Meikar Adin, but that's what he claims. So again, either way, in other words, Rabbah says you need to be aware that you're sitting in the sukkah, and if the schach is higher than 20 amos, you just don't have that awareness. So again, clearly, this issue about whether your schach is higher than 20 amos is a problem now, which is again a same machlok as between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. That depends on the definition of heker. That depends on recognition. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't really care if you're aware that you're sitting in a sukkah, because he holds that schach that's above 20 amos is fine. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you need to have that cognizance that you're sitting in a sukkah, which means that if your schach is above 20 amos, that's going to be a problem. So the question now becomes, well, why is the Gemara rehashing the same exact machlokes that we have in the Masechah Sukkah? Why does the Gemara have to repeat this? In other words, if the whole issue here is about whether a person can see and be aware of things that are more than 20 amos above their head, that's just a reframing of the machlokes in Masechah Sukkah. So why bother, you know, repeating the exact same machlokes here? So the Gemara says, no, tricha. In other words, the Gemara says, we really need both machlokesim here in Erevin and also in Sukkah. Di'yash mina gabi Sukkah, b'haka amar Rabbi Yehuda kevan deli yeshiva avida shalta be'ena, ava mavoi deli hiluch avid, ema mo delahu l'rabanan. So the Gemara says, on the one hand, one could have argued that there's actually a distinction between Sukkah and mavoi. Namely, you know, in other words, a person sits in the Sukkah. So one could argue that their eyes are going to naturally drift up to the top and see the schach, even if it's above 20 amos. Whereas when it comes to a mavoi, so people use the mavoi to walk. It's not a guarantee that you're going to, you know, always look up at the top of the mavui. So one could have argued that maybe there's room to distinguish between a mavui and a sukkah. On the other hand, v'yashmina b'ha k'amri rabbanan, ava b'hach ima modu le Rabbi Yehuda tzricha. Therefore, the Gemara says we need both the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, both by sukkah as well as by mavui. Okay, and then finally, the Gemara says, my amaltera, what exactly is the definition of an amaltera? So Rav Chama b'ri d'rabba baravua amar kene. So according to Rav Chama, it's some kind of a decorative, ornamental image that looks like a bird's nest. Ki asa Rav Dimi amar amri b'marava paske da'arza. In Eretz Yisrael, they claim that it was like these long beams of cedar wood. So the Gemara says, "Man da'amar piske da'arza kol shekein kine. Man da'amar kine ala piske da'arza lo." If you think that the definition of an amaltera are beams of cedar wood, then kal v'chomer, you also think it includes the decorative, ornamental-looking bird's nest. But if you think it means the bird's nest, then it does not include the long beams of cedar wood. Man da'amar piske da'arza my time. Why does the opinion that says that an amaltera is a beam of cedar wood, why do they think that that's good enough? That's going to allow you to carry. The Gemara says, "Oh, it must be because mishum denafish mashke, because the beams of cedar wood are very long, and therefore people's eyes are naturally drawn to them." The Gemara says, "What do you mean? V'hasukkah denafish mashke v'ka'amri rabbanan delo." But a sukkah has very long schach, and the rabbanan still say that if it's higher than 20 amos, then your sukkah is still invalid. The Gemara says, "You're right. Ala kevan dekachashiv isle kala. Since the beams of cedarwood apparently were very, very expensive, people would talk about it. So if some guy put up a beam of cedarwood on top of the alleyway, everyone knew about it, and since everyone was talking about it, therefore that was going to be considered a valid hecker, and therefore you would be allowed to carry in that scenario.